shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things it is written, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. What a wonderful Savior. Is Jesus my Lord? What a wonderful Savior to me. On this resurrection day, we rejoice because he lives and conquered death. I want you to open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. It was from this text that I heard my dad preach his last message more than 50 years ago. I praise God for this chapter, and I'm going to read from it. But as you're finding your place, I would remind you once again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And aren't you glad it's settled right here on earth? This wonderful book that we call the Bible. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse number 12. And I shall read after we pause in a moment of prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for Resurrection Day, for our loving and living Lord who conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. Now I pray that you would give me permission to read your holy word and to preach your holy word. Speak to those who know not Jesus as Savior. May they realize without him they're eternally lost. May they come to know him today, and help us all as believers to be refreshed, to be encouraged, to be enthusiastic about the resurrection of our Lord. We ask these things in his name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now I read for you from 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse number 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ from whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. Now, before I begin my message, I want to do something that I probably have never done before. After 60 years in the ministry, I ought to find something new, hadn't I? But I'm going to read to you a poem that I was privileged to write aboard a flight from Atlanta, Georgia, to Colorado Springs, Colorado, back in the year 2004, and I entitled it God's Good News. Here it is. What better news have we than this? The gospel of Christ, such wonderful bliss. Before the creation he lived on high, and in God's good time we found him nigh. Born of a virgin and laid on his mother's breast, he came to earth to give us his best. Confounding the lawyers and the Jewish temple, he spoke the truth in words so simple. My father's business I must attend, and dutifully did so to the end. Crooked limbs he straightened, blind eyes he gave sight, and expounded the new birth to a man at night. Walking on the water, his disciples he frightened, but with a word of assurance, their faith he heightened. His disciples he taught on the grassy mountainside, and with the loaves and fish he satisfied. In Pilate's hall his sentence he heard, and to King Herod he said not a word. The Roman scourge on his back was laid, as our debt of sin was freely paid. To the cross he was steadfastly nailed, as his mother sadly mourned and wailed. "It is finished," he triumphantly cried, as for our sins he willingly died. In Joseph's tomb his body was laid, but the grave could not our Lord contain. Early on the third day the Savior arose, with certain victory o'er all his foes. At the Father's right hand he lives on high, where with him we'll live by and by. And now to my message. And I have an introduction. Sometimes my introductions are longer than my messages, so just sit back and relax. I want to tell you today, my friend, that we are living in a world of religious ideas, religious icons, religious ideologists, and religious institutions. Religion comes in all sizes, shapes, forms, styles, and degrees. There are 11 major religions in our world today: Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Zoroastrianism, Sikhism, Jainism, Taoism, Shintoism, Judaism, and Christianity. And I'm bold enough to tell you that all of these isms one day will be wasms. But Christianity shall live as long as God, for Jesus is alive. He's at the right hand of God. Now you can take your choice, but let me warn you, if you do not make the right choice, you're going to end up in the wrong place. In the lake of fire, where the Bible says their smoke ascendeth up forever and forever, and they have no rest day nor night. Now you may ask, well, what's the difference? Isn't one religion just as good as another? Does it really matter what a person believes as long as he's sincere? What is the difference between Christianity and the other 10 religions? Well, I hasten to tell you the difference is Jesus Christ. Amen. The Son of God. Yes. The Prince of Life. Yes. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He makes a difference as wide as eternity. He makes a difference between life and death. He makes a difference between light and darkness. He makes a difference between hope and despair. He makes a difference between heaven and hell. Now, my friend, he can make a difference in your life. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My friend, could I tell you that Mohammed cannot wash away your sins? But Jesus can. That's what John said in the Revelation 1:5, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and forever. Zoroaster cannot guarantee you life after death, but Jesus can. That's what he said. Here I am quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Confucius cannot bring you to God, but Jesus can. I'm going to quote Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Many scholars believe that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. He lived in the patriarchal age. We do know that. In his 14th chapter at verse 14, he asked a question. If a man die, shall he live again? He did not wait for a scientist to answer that, or a philosopher, or an educator, or religionist. He answered it for himself. In the 19th chapter at verse 25, he said, I know, underscore that word know, not that I think so, hope so, perchance, maybe so. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter day shall stand upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Ladies and gentlemen, all hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mr. Spurgeon said, and I quote, upon one life I did not live, upon one death I did not die. I risked my whole eternity, and the resurrection is the reason why. Amen. Wish I'd have thought of that. Isn't that a powerful statement? Amen. I risked my whole eternity upon the resurrection. Right. We risk ours today. Right. Now, I've entitled this message from a phrase is taken right out of the text. If Christ be not risen. I have you note in the first place, if Christ be not risen, all our preaching is in vain. Look at verse 14 again. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. You mean to tell me that all the messages, how many messages have I preached in 60 years? Do you mean to tell me, Paul, that all of those messages are in vain, empty, futile, void, meaningless, purposeless? That's not all. The last part of verse 14, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Look at it again. And your faith is vain also. Listen, folks, your faith is shipwrecked. It's empty. It's void. You believe for nothing. What a dark, dismal picture that is. That's not all. In verse 15, if Christ be not risen, every preacher is a false witness. Every preacher from John the Baptist to Willie Weaver to Raymond Barber, we're all false witnesses. We've been telling you a bunch of lies. Because we testified that God raised Jesus from the dead. If he did not, we are false witnesses. You're looking at a false witness, if that's all there is to it. I look at verse 17. If Christ be not risen, ye are still in your sins. Verse 17 says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Now listen, ye are yet in your sins. You just think you've been delivered. You just think you've been set free. You just think you've been washed and cleansed and purged and purified and sanctified and justified. It's nothing to it. That's what Paul said, if Christ be not risen. Here's a sad note in verse 18. He says, if Christ be not risen, all our deceased loved ones are perishing in the flames of eternal hell. Isn't that a sad note? That my mother and my dad and many friends that I buried from this. How many people you suppose I've, how many funerals you suppose I've conducted in 60 years? And they're all perished. They're all suffering in hell if the truth is not the truth. One more thing, Paul said in verse 19, if Christ be not risen, we're the most miserable people on earth. That smile you've had this morning has been a false, hypocritical thing. You're not happy. You're miserable. If Christ be not risen from the dead. That's what he said in verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now in these verses from 12 to 19, Paul presented a hopeless case. Doom, dismal, doleful, depressive picture. But thank God the story does not end with verse 19. Stay tuned and I'll give you the rest of the story. In verse 20. But now, underscore it, capitalize it, canonize it, centralize it, harmonize it, memorize it. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam die, all also in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And to all flesh his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which was natural, and after that which was spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The last man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. On the day of the crucifixion, people went throughout all Jerusalem whispering, he is dead. He is dead. Jesus is dead. 3 days later, that crowd went through Jerusalem shouting, he's alive! He's alive! Jesus is alive. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. On Friday, I had a part in a funeral of a dear lady, 67 years old. She was just a teenager when I became pastor of Worth Baptist Church 50 years ago. A shining star in the youth department, Rossanne Doggett. I buried her father and mother and her brother. Pat Roberts, you know who I'm talking about. You were secretary of the church then. You kept up with this family. And I'm glad I could stand by that grave and say to that family, this is not all of it. Rossanne is with Jesus. And with her mother and dad and her brother, and soon we'll all be there. For Jesus is coming soon, and we'll all be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now my question to you this morning is this. Do you know the risen Savior? Oh, I know you sing about the resurrection. You read about it in the paper. You've heard about it today. But do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Can I get really personal? If you were to die today, do you know that you're going to heaven? Could I ask you what you're basing that on? The fact that you were brought up in a Christian home. The fact that you were baptized when you were a child. The fact that you learned the catechisms, or that you went through all of the doctrines and dogma of some church. That is not sufficient. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad He paid our sin debt at Calvary? I've said it to you before, but I have to say it again. He didn't put a down payment on your sins and expect you to pay out the balance in installments, because Jesus paid it all. Amen. All to Him I owe. Amen. Sin had left the crimson stain, and He washed it white as snow. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. With our heads bowed, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to speak. I wish I knew how to give an invitation. If I may see it, my daddy was the greatest invitation giver that I've ever known. How many times do I remember him putting his hand up and his thumb at his little finger and saying, "Can't God just do a little something for you today?" Can I ask you, couldn't God just do a little something for you on Resurrection Day? You're here without the Savior. He can do more than you could ever dream of. He can wash you whiter than snow. He can forgive you of all your sins. He can save you for all eternity. If you're here today as a Christian, you have a prayer burden, you have an unsaved loved one, you have someone you know. If we were to have their funeral next week, no hope. Aren't you glad Jesus rose from the dead? Aren't you glad He's guaranteed us life eternal? If you have a prayer burden, someone on your heart that may be lost, or some need in your life that you want to pray about today, I'm going to invite you to come. Just step right out of your seat. Heavenly Father, speak to all of our hearts today. We know not what goes on in the hearts of others, but we know there are those with burdens today. There are those in darkness, and they're hopeless and helpless and undone and lost without Christ. I pray they would come to know Him, trust Him in this hour. Help us all to just realize that whatever little thing that we need you to do, or whatever big thing you're able to do it, may it be so, in Jesus' name I pray.